Okay, we are learning Perek Tes Vav inside. And what we learned in Perek Tes Vav so far was that there's a difference between the lave and the nefesh. It's important for me to understand what's the lave, what's the nefesh. It's probably a couple of the most important vocabulary words in Judaism. What's the lave? What's the nefesh? Avdei b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem v'ahavtas Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. And there's some kind of like a yetzer hara that even if people are experts in Hebrew, you ask them what's the lave, they really don't know. We know the lave, but that's just a physical aspect of the lave. So we started to discuss that. We discussed that lave is not negotiable. When you daven, you have to daven b'chol levavchem. There's no machlekes whether it's kol meaning kol dehu or kol meaning all of it. You need kol levavchem, meaning gam yetzer hara, gam yetzer atov. The Gemara explains chol levavchem, taich, chol levavcha, yetzer hara, yetzer atov, b'shnei yitzrecha. Which, again, needs a definition. The Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov represent what in the person. But let's just leave it for a moment. And then we have Nafshecha. In Nafshecha, here let's just take a B'chol Nafshechem. Let's take a look at halfway through Perek Tes Vav before the Hagol. Let's learn a little bit inside. V'ikir ha'achon lezeh. I'm sorry. U'madregas chana ha'isa. Let's start there. Madregas Chana Haisa. How did Chana daven? We talked a lot about Chana. How did Chana daven? Sheshavcha b'tfilasa lefanav yizbarach shmai. Let's look at the words carefully. Sheshavcha. How do you want to translate it? Outpouring. Poured out, outpouring. Sheshavcha b'tfilasa lefanav yizbarach kol nafsha. So she poured out, see, in English we tend to pour out our heart. Shifchi kamayim libech. But the shvichas hanefesh. There's something interesting just to throw it out there. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol miyodecha. There is shvichas halev, there's shvichas hanefesh, and there's shvichas domim. And as the Gemara said, domim tarte mashma. Domim can mean all your money. It can mean all your blood. Domim tarte mashma. Why? What's the kesher with your blood and your money? So the Gemara explains. Yesh adam shechaviv shegufay chaviv olav mi mamonei. Yesh adam shemamonei chaviv olav mi gufay. I think that's most people. Your money or your life, right? That's your money or your life. Darsha, you sang over a chazal. Sang over a chazal. Yeah. Thinking. Right? Huh? Right? Shvicha comes in many. So let's get the words here. It says the Lachain Amra, so Chana said, Ve'eshboich es nafshi. She said, Ve'eshboich es nafshi, u'shficha pirushai legamri. When we talk about shficha, we're talking about legamri. We're talking about a complete emptying. Emptying it out. It's not empty. Ki yadua b'shas. Okay. As is known in shas. Let me just tell you something that I, as a sitter, let's, and I want to learn these psukim, but just as an example, in the I believe in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, just arba midos v'yoshvim lifnei chachamim. There arba midos v'yoshvim lifnei chachamim. Parak Hey, Mishnah Yudches, Sfoig is a sponge. Mashpech is a funnel. Mishameres, a sieve, filter of some sort, and a nufa. It's a finer sieve. Right. So one, just halachically, one of them is taking away the klipas of the flour from the flour, and the other one is separating. It's a finer one. A nufa is flying. It is refining the solas from the kemach. Two different things. So it's interesting. So there's one guy who sits in. Now this is a chasarn. Svog shu sofeg is hakol. You think that's a good thing? Wow, he's like a sponge. No, sofeg is hakol. He absorbs everything, both good and bad. Well, it's shtuyot. Like not everything that Rav says is MS. So he just soaks in everything. Like so, it's or you can say it's like a photographic memory. You know, it's a svog. Like you know, it's not a uncritical. Yeah, uncritical. Mashbech shemachnis bezu umaitzi bezoy. Just to understand in Shas. A mashbech, a funnel. So the idea is if you take water from a big bottle and you want to put it into a little bottle, so you pour it through a funnel. And this is a case that nothing sticks. Nothing sticks. It just did its svog, everything sticks. Everything stays in the svog. Until you squeeze it, everything is there. A funnel, so nothing sticks. I have to say, I often feel like a funnel, as a matter of fact, because I see a lot of things and I hear a lot of things, and I give over a lot of things. Very little sticks. Maybe sometimes if you're not using water, you're using like a thick oil, so like somehow something sticks, you know. But a mashpech is a big problem, I think. It's a big problem. Mashpech. Like a lot of times, like, you know, just. I heard once, like, from Rav Huttner, Olav Shalom, that I think they said this at one of his hespedim. He said that the most people, like, if they hear a good story or a good vart or a good joke or a good something, like, they tell it over to whoever they can tell it over the first one. That they somehow get into the conversation, or even you want to hear a joke, like they don't even get in conversation. Rav Huttner had the koach to keep it for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years until it was the right time to say it. So since I heard that, I've been thinking about that. That's I don't have that koach. But like that's a.
That's how Kron, he says he has all these cards. And,
you know, so which one is he? I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying I relate to the. I'm certainly not a svog, just personally, I just relate to the mashpech. That's a mashpech. But then there's a mishameres. A mishameres, says the Mishnah, shemotzia es hayayin v'koiletes es hashmarim. So that's kind of crazy. You just keep the bad things. There's people like that also. That, you know, they're listening to something, all they can do is criticize. So that's a mishameres. What are you left with at the end? You're left with all the chartzanim. You're left with all the shmarim. Nafa Shemotzias hakemach v'koletes es hasolas, that it lets out the more unrefined and holds the refined, keeps the refined. So, I suppose that's the goal.
The only good one.
Seems like it. Rashi ala makom and the Rav, they say these are mostly chasroinus. The chiddush of this Mishnah, which is not our Indian, that to hold on to everything is also not good. Apparently, that's also not good. That's a sponge. That's a sponge. But lin yanenu, a mashpech, leaves nothing for itself. That's what a mashpech. So when Chanukah comes along, and let's just review the story one more time, because it's just, I know we've gone over and over, but it's just so fundamental. But in Shmuel Aleph, the story. Now every time we learn something, it makes it more meduyak. V'hayaki, Chanukah wanted a child. V'haya ki hir basali spala lifnei Hashem ve'eli shomer espiha. Look what's going on here. She's davening, that's all. Ki hir basali spala, she's davening all the time. This Chana, hir basali spala lifnei Hashem, davening a lot. Ve'eli shomer espiha. And Eli shomer espiha is watching her. V'chana, now let's be careful here. V'chana, he Medaberes al liba. Medaberes al liba. Yeah? Raksvasan nois, v'koyla lo yishamea. She's moving her lips, and she's not making any sound. And she's medaberes al liba, v'yachshaveha eli l'shikoyra. So Eli says, this looks like she's drunk. What looks like she's drunk? That she's medaberes al liba. She's speaking to her heart. What's a heart? But let's say in simple English, in vernacular, she's speaking to herself. Medaberes al liba. Vayomer Eli, ad mosai tishtakorin, hasirius yenech me'olech. How long are you gotta stop drinking, right? Stop drinking. Hasiri as yenech me'olech. And here's her answer. Vatan Chana Vatoimer. So Chana answers Eli, and she says, Loy Adoni, Ishak Shasruach Chanoichi. I'm not a drunkard. I'm a good woman. V'yayin v'sheicher loy shasisi. I didn't drink any wine. Nothing. Elamai ve'eshboich es nafshi. So the introduction is she was medaberes al liba, libi. But she's explaining what's really happening is eshboich es nafshi lifnei Hashem. So she's medaberes el liba, and she's shofech es nafsha. So this shofech es nafsha is a whole. See, I think this is just a theory. I think that if a person is shofech es nafsha, it's a strong lashon, like shvichas damim, you know. If a person is shofech es nafsha, so I think more than one moving their lips and not making any sound looks like a drunk. To me, it looks like somebody talking on a cell phone. But when a person is driving crazy and a person like has no cognizance or no self at all, that's a shikaira. In other words, whatever drunkenness does to a person, however it's understood scientifically, is no difference to me. But the point is, you lose all control of your faculties and your that's what a shikar is. So what she's saying, ve'esh b'yiches nafsha, listen to the words, I've poured out my whole nefesh. When you kill somebody, it's called shvichas ha'nefesh. Yeah, but look, shvichas domin. That's Lashon HaChazal. Ahoyrigas HaNefesh. Or where's the first time it appears? You always have to look at the first time something appears. Huh? Nope. No. First time appears is right after the Mabul. And after the Mabul, it says, here. It says like this, Hashem says, Kol remes asher uchai lachem yeh la'achla. Right, you saved all these animals and things. You can eat them. Ki yarek esev nasati lachem es kol. This was the first heter to eat basar. Ach, however, Hashem says, this is Hashem talking to Noach, basar benafshoi damoi loy sechelu. Va'ach, basar benafshoi, don't eat basar benafshoi, adam hu anefesh, Chazal learned, don't eat meat with the blood. You can eat the meat, but get rid of the blood. Lo yisechelu. Va'ach es dimchem lenafshoi seichem edroish. What does that mean? It says, va'ach es dimchem lenafshoi seichem edroish. Parshas Noach, everyone got to, and being Maver Seder, so what does it mean? Va'ach, it means don't kill yourself. That's what it means. V'aches dimchem l'nafshei seichem edreish. Even if you kill yourself, I will call that. I will. If you kill yourself, the thing is you're not chayiv misa. But that's just a technical point. But Yechayev, for killing, as Dimchem Lenafshi Seichem, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Nun Vav, Zehoylech Al Hahoyreges Atzmai. So a person commits suicide, so that's Aser, Dimchem Lenafshi Seichem, Umiyad Ha'odam, Umiyad Ish Achiv Edroish Es Nefesh Ha'odam, and says Shoifech Dam Ha'odam Ba'odam Damai Yishafech. Shoifech dam ha'adam. So here you have shvichas damim. Shoifech dam ha'adam. Ba'adam dama yishafech. Ki betzalam alikim asas adam. Because everyone's created. So this chazalsi means simply shoifech dam ha'adam ba'adam dama yishafech. Chazal learned that if you kill somebody else, it was the first thing that Noach was commanded on when he came out of the table was don't kill people. He could have I presume he could have taken an example from God who just killed millions of people. There was just a mabul. So he said, no, b'tzelem elokim asa adam. It's a new world. Don't kill anybody. This is not the mahalach of killing people. And don't even kill yourself. You can kill animals. Yeah, that's a simple pshat. The Chazal didn't say a drasha that minayin lafilu ubar, that you're not allowed to do an abortion. So where it says dam ha'adam ba'adam ezu adam shibuhud ba'adam ze ubar b'yarchimai. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, but that's a drasha. That from here we learn that you're not allowed to do abortions either. That's shvichas domim. That's Shvichas Damim. So what I want to just go a little further here. So she says, Atan chana loya adonik shas ruach anoich v'yein v'sheicher loishasi siva eshbaiches nafshi lifnei Hashem. So there was a Shvichas HaNefesh. So I just wanted to make this point. I'm shouting in the Pasuk that the Shvichas HaNefesh means that she was completely gone. She was completely non-cognizant. And probably that's why Eli thought she was a shikara.
No filter.
No filter. Is that what happens when you're drunk? No filter. So
it's not that she's not conscious.
She was conscious. She was davening, but right. She just so no what? That's the question. But she was saying Eshbach is not. She's very important for our sugya.
Someone was very drunk. They don't remember what they did. Not really totally. But
somebody was drunk. They let everything.
Right, so we were talking about kas, now we're talking about kos. Bekiso, bekoso, ubekaso. Interesting, right? Last week we were talking about, or Sunday we were talking about bekaso, that when the person is bekas, so that's coming from the lave. When a person is bekos, there's a bittel of something else. Maybe it's a bittel of the nefesh. So we have to know what the nefesh is and what the lave is. That's what it comes down to. I want to get back to the psukim, but let's just learn a little bit more inside. Shvicha Pirushai Legamri. Whenever you see the word shvicha, it means nothing left for myself. It's complete. Yadua b'shas. V'hainu, and this is the most important words, v'hainu shaloi nishar lo shum ratzain l'inyane oilam hazeh. Ki nefesh, underline this, pirushai ratzain. Keywords. Ki nefesh pirushai ratzain. What's the nefesh? Ratzon. What's ratzon? Begs the question. But you see, the thing is, let's just think about this for a moment. What is ratzon? Kama shenemar, or kama shekasuv, what we just read, matoymar nafshecha v'esilach. We didn't read this. Later on in Shmuel, this is talking about David HaMelech talking to Yehoshua's son. And David says to Yehonasan, you're going in front of the Melech, meaning Shaul. Shaul wants to kill me. And Yehonasan told him, Ma toimer nafshecha ve'esalecha. Yehonasan told David, tell me what your nefesh is, and that's what I'll do. It's like very, very deep. Yehonasan tells David, tell me what your ratzon is, and that's what I'll do. But ratzon aklali kosher b'chlal ha-nefesh. So what we're talking about, let me say this. B'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. L'avdoi b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshechem. The lave is a keli which is used for tefillah, and if you're not using all of it, if it's not kol, mamash kol, then you're not doing it. Kol levavchem, explained, means that you can't, there's no kol, kol duhu. That's a very simple thing. When it comes to the lave, let's call it concentration, attention. What Chazal called the lave is kavana. So kavana means focus. That's what the word means. Kavana means focus. So if I'm focused on Yitzchak, then I'm not looking over there. If I'm focused on you, I'm not looking at my cell phone. I'm focused. So b'chol levavchem is that I'm putting all my kavana there. There's no two ways about it. You can't stand lifnei hamelech and be doing two things. You can't multifunction or think about something else. This is a moment, lifnei hamelech, you need to focus. B'chol levavchem. B'chol nafshechem means, as he's explaining it, with your whole ratzon. Your focus, your kavona.
Why is Lashon
Hara? Levavchem?
Levavchem, so we have a drasha. We have a drasha by nafshechem.
So the Nefesh HaChaim is going to explain, good question, that the reason it's b'chol nafshechem is because there are different madregas in kol ratzon. So there's different madregas in ratzon, but there's not different madregas in concentration. There is a concentration, either you're paying attention or not. In kavona, either you're having kavona or not, which is a chiddush. But when it comes to how much of my ratzon, is it eshboich es nafshi? That's the whole game. Eshboich es nafshi. And it means, as the Svarim explained, that ultimately, and this is a key thing, follow with me because this is very important. The Hashem's ratzon doesn't just mean my desire or my will or Hashem's desire and Hashem's will. The ratzon, if you look in the Shara Kavanos, in the third parak of the Arizal, ratzon is actually the Or Hashem, which goes to Teich HaSfirois. You know, everybody's seen the chart. Don't get nervous about this. I'm not capable of teaching Kabbalah, but just everybody's seen the picture of the line going into all the circles, and you say, well, what the heck is line going into the circles? So there's an Or. There's a kav, which goes into the spheros, and then there's an or makif, which goes around. The idea of and he's going to explain this in the Haggah, so I'm just giving you a heads up here. Those are called the igulim. Those circles are igulim. The or is the or Hashem, which comes into this world, and then the bria goes to chesed, gevurah, tiferes, netzach, hod, yisod, malchus. So there's an or which surrounds the world, which is or makif, and then there's the kav, which cuts through the whole thing, right? And just that's all. Just think of it as a chart for a second, whatever it means. But I just want to tell you this: what the Arizal says, the Or who Ratzon Hashem, that Or is Ratzon. So we're not talking about Ratzon as a thing. it's not like I want a glass of water. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. It's like the trick of it is b'chol nafshechem. And I just want to say this yisoid. Everything I'm saying is just to say this yisoid. that. It's very difficult to know what your true or our true ratzon or somebody else's true ratzon is. What are they really? Where is that or Hashem landing within them? I just don't want to mix myself up. In other words, what we're talking about ratzon. You say, "What do you want?" So I just give an example. I want a cup of coffee. Okay. Not right now. I want a cup of coffee. Why do you want a cup of coffee? Why? That's the key question. Well, number of reasons. I like drinking coffee. It's very sociable to drink coffee. It keeps me awake to drink coffee. It's a stimulant. I like the look of it. I like the smell of it. There can be a million reasons why I want a cup of coffee right now, and they're all true. But you want to get to the why brings you to a deeper, okay, but why do you want to be sociable and awake and all of those things. Why? So, well, the answer is because I'm giving a shiur. I want to teach Torah. So, what's the matter?
Why?
Why? So, like, why? I think that why is, like, such a good question. I think, like, because why takes you... Keep going. Wow. You can keep going. You could have fun with this.
Kids do this.
What?
Kids do this.
Yeah, why? Why? why do the kids do this? You see, like... I tell you a secret. I once gave a speech at the Agoda convention. I once attended Agoda convention once, and I gave this full speech. It was the only time in my life I ever did this. Like, there was like 3,000 people there, and it was really something. I don't usually speak for 3,000 people. 1,000, 3,000 is a big number, and it's a very strange phenomenon, because every time I spoke, I never did that, and I never even attended one, so I didn't even know what you're supposed to do. But I know that every time I finished like two sentences, the whole place started applauding. So I didn't know what, like, I thought it was like, Jackie Mason or something. Exactly right. Exactly right. But that they also, like, truth is very powerful, the feedback from the crowd. It was a very powerful moment. But then, they broke up into, I was talking about Kirov, because I was Mr. Kirov. So they started talking about, broke up into groups of 100 people or so. So I was talking about intermarriage, how to stop an intermarriage. Now, it's very interesting, because I don't know how to stop an intermarriage. Meaning, I really don't know how to stop an intermarriage, nor do I think actually anybody knows how to stop an intermarriage. I've heard all the tricks and I've read all the books, but the fact of the matter is, if somebody doesn't have a Jewish education and somebody's brought up in a way that there's no difference, it's just a matter of luck or siyata deshmaya or chesavos or something that they don't marry a non-Jew. Why wouldn't they marry a non-Jew, a nice person? Why shouldn't I marry a non-Jew?
If it's
a,
the odds are.
Yeah, it's like, so now how do you stop it? Okay, we're getting married, so like, oh, intermarriage. So, so in this group was, I was really stuck, because the thing was, please give us some tips. Now, these are people from Borough Park, Flatbush, or whatever. I don't know how much they encountered anyway. But, how do you stop an intermarriage? What I'm thinking in my head is, well, you can get a gun. That's one way of doing it. I've encountered many, many intermarriages, but I have not stopped that many intermarriages. Sometimes people stop themselves. I haven't really stopped many intermarriages, even though I was doing this for 30 years. Just really was not successful at it. But what I was successful at was making people aware of Torah and that there's something else. There's Hashem, there's Torah, and sometimes maybe Mimela, but what's interesting is this, that I told this story and I want to tell it to you, that there was, I might have even told before, but it just stuck in my mind as a good example, that a short time before that Agudas Yisrael thing, so I was in Buffalo, New York, and a woman called me on the phone from someplace in New York, I don't remember. And she's like, Rabbi, my son is in college in Buffalo and the University of Buffalo, and he's going to be a doctor, and he's so smart, and he's so this, and oh, he's marrying, he's going out with this Chinese girl, and, you need to stop it. You need to get it to stop. Not this Chinese girl, and she was like a real... And then she says, we're very Jewish people, she tells me, and she says, she puts her husband on the phone, and he says, talk to him in Yiddish, she says to her husband, talk to me in Yiddish to tell how Jewish they were, And anyway, so I said, look, I don't know how to, he's in love with this Chinese girl, she's telling me, ridiculous, and it's so embarrassing, and it's ruining his life, it's ruining our life and everything. So you have to talk to him. So I said, okay, I'll talk to him. Of course I'll talk to him, so just tell him to give me a call. No! I can't tell him, you can't tell him that I called, and you have to call him. So I said, I'm not going to call a guy in University of Buffalo out of the blue. My name is Rabbi Haber. I heard you're going out with this Chinese girl. Come see me now. It's not going to happen, you know. Oh, you know, so anyway, she called me. This is a true story. She called me like day after day. You know, you need to talk to him. You need to talk to him. Finally, she called me one day, and she said that this is causing such grief with him. He's because I'm you know, hacking him so much about this, and you know, it's ruining his marks. And he's a doctor, and he's a genius, and he's a this, and he's a that. But it's ruining his marks, ruining his life. And now he's going into having psychological problems. She's telling me. Anyways, I said, okay, I'll call him, but I'm going to tell him that your mother asked me to call because she's concerned about your health. Okay, we came to a compromise. So I called this guy, and I told him exactly that. I said, your mother called. She's worried about your health. She called the local rabbi. I'm a local rabbi, and if I can help you, I'm happy to help you anytime you want to come over and talk. So he says, I'd like to do that. I'd like to come talk. So so he came to talk to me. Very nice guy. Wasn't a genius. He wasn't a nice guy. <yeah. laughs> Nice guy. I thought he was going to be at least 7.5 feet tall. I was clear that he was going to be like, you know, whoa, this guy, movie star. But he's a regular guy from New York. See, he comes in and he's sitting. I remember sitting in the room there, and I said to him, like, what's going on? What's the problem? So he says, well, I do have a problem. He says, because I'm going out with this Chinese girl. He got right to the point. He's going out with this Chinese girl, and it's a wonderful girl, and she's wonderful for him, and you know, they study together and everything. Yeah. But my mother is, this is interesting, my mother is calling me daily, telling me how she's going to commit suicide if I marry this girl. So, and he said, my girlfriend is already sick of it because, you know, this is going on for like a year. And, you know, we have this whole relationship, and she wants to get engaged. You know, so my mother's telling me she's going to commit suicide, and this girl's telling me she's going to leave me. And I'm torn between two lovers, you know, feeling like a fool. So that's what this guy tells me. And I don't know what to do. So I said to him, and this, by the way, was a legitimate question. This wasn't a how to stop an intermarriage. It was legitimate. I said, I'm just a little confused. I said, you're telling me what your girlfriend wants to do, and you're telling me what your mother wants to do, but you're not telling me what you want to do. That was a real, authentic question. You're not telling me what you want to do. So I said, well, I've never thought about that. I'm just too busy. like I'm sitting here, and I'm being pulled by my mother. And I never thought about it. So I said, look, what you should do ultimately is your decision. Maybe where I can help you is let's try to figure out first what you want to do. And once we know what you want to do, then we'll see if that's practical, if it's not practical, if it's the right thing, if it's the wrong thing. We'll examine it, but let's put on the table at least what you want to do. Now, that's a good mahalach. So I said, you know, you need to think about it. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go get you a drink or something, because he was getting like really, he was very like nervous and everything. So I said, let me get you a drink, and when I come back, so we'll talk about what you want to do. Really, I just wanted a cup of coffee. Why? I came 2 minutes later with a drink. So I said, okay, let's talk about it. He says, look, it's obvious, Rabbi. So I said, what's obvious? So he says, all things being equal, of course I'd rather marry a Jew. He said, this was not a religious guy at all, you know, but of course I'd rather marry a Jew. I said, how come? So he says, you know, like the clarinets and the Jewish music and the chuppah, and then he started saying, and that's what my father did, and that's what my grandfather did, and that's what I want my children to do. You know, and he gave me a whole beautiful description, which I frankly hadn't even thought about myself, about how beautiful it is to marry a Jew. It's actually a very beautiful thing to marry a Jew, and the whole thing of a Jewish marriage and a Jewish family, and like he just thought that was a great thing. But there's, you know, this Chinese So I said, so now we could forget for a moment about the Chinese girl. We could forget about your mother, for that matter. And let's focus on, if you really want to do this, why aren't you doing it? Like, what's the, like, do you really have to do something you don't want to do? That was the question. So he said, that I need to think about. That I need to think about. And he called me maybe 2 weeks later. He left. Called me about 2 weeks later. He says, you know, thank you very much. He says, but I broke up with this girl. Now, this is the only time, to my knowledge, that I stopped an intermarriage. I just, by accident.
Success story.
And I told the story at the Aguda convention. But here's the interesting thing. So he calls me about 2 weeks later. He says, I broke up with this girl. He says, because I realized that I got to go with my, I don't remember his word, but I need to go with my rutsum. Rutsum. Let me say it differently. I need to go with my nefesh. So I said, good. We're talking a little bit. And he said, you know, I'd really like to get to know you better. That was very helpful. And, you know, what do you do? So I said, well, why don't you come for Shabbos? So he came for Shabbos, and he expressed a tremendous interest in Shabbos, and then he came a second time and a third time. I never heard from the mother. This was, like, very, very interesting.
I didn't, right.
So she calls me, finally calls me maybe a month later. She says, Rabbi, so he says, I asked you to get rid of the Chinese girl. I didn't ask you to make them Orthodox. She says, I'll tell you a true story. Like, what are you doing? You know, like... So that's my story. It's a story, but it illustrates something very, very important. The why factor. Because I found over and over again that by my asking myself why and asking somebody else why, you get to a very, very deep place. The deep place that you get to, and keep on going, more layers. The reason why you get to a very, very, I was going to write a book called The Book of Why, but someone did already. when I looked into it, somebody did. But just why, I don't mean why to explain things, but like how to ask yourself why. Like ask, and it's amazing what you come up with. And I believe, and I think we all have to believe, that in the Ratzon Hapnimi, that if you get down to a Jew's deepest Ratzon, it's going to be something holy. Holy.
No, Hashem.
Hashem's, because Hashem's Or comes into this world in the form of Ratzon, and that's the Ratzon that I naturally have, and everything else is layers and layers on top of that Ratzon. Ad kedei kach, that I was once describing to Rav Yaakov Hillel that about somebody who was just unbudgeable and just couldn't get to that Ratzon Hapnimi, because I was telling him this idea, this theory, and he said, look, some people they're saying they're Jewish, but like Amdu Avoteihem Behar Sinai, they're not really Jewish. If there is no deep place, this is not necessarily true. It could be I'm just not reaching it, and he's not reaching it. But he's saying, like, if there's really no deep place, that's a siman. Shaloyam du avos of Har Sinai. Ad kedei kach, that was the thing. A Jew is a Jew. So. Anachnu ma. You're saying it's a Mefurish Azor. It's a Mefurish Azor. When Moshe Rabbeinu said "Vanachnu Ma," he meant "Lama." It's a Mefurish. And in fact, one of the themes. So let me say, you talk about the importance of the Ratzon Hapnimi. That is the Nefesh. That's what Nefesh HaChaim said. Ki Nefesh Pirushay Ratzon. So when we're talking about davening, this is davens, b'chol nafshechem. So what we're talking about is getting down to the deepest Ratzon Hapnimi within the Adam. And this is probably why the idea is not so much to daven for, money or to win the lottery or something like that. But what we're talking about is we're in this, like, sort of X-ray machine situation in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where our Ratzon Hapnimi is standing in front of the Ratzon Elyon and seeing if it matches up. Now, this can manifest itself in winning the lottery. It can manifest itself in health. It can manifest itself in all kinds of things. But no, because if you are thinking about it, that's the next paragraph. If you are thinking about it, it's Leman Hashem. But in other words, why do you want money? Well, because I want to be able to give tzedakah. But why do you want to give tzedakah? Well, because I want to do Hashem's ratzon. So if you can get that far, and it's true, so if you want to do Hashem's ratzon, so then it's okay to ask for money. It has to be ratzon to ratzon, which are going to create a harkava. And the harkava, Lashon HaRambam, that there's harkava mizgit and harkava shchenit, Lashon of the Rambam, that there's harkava where you screw two things together or glue them together. But then there's harkava mizgit mezeg, which is homogenation. You've actually made the two things into one thing. And the Rambam describes tefillah is harkava mizgit, and Mar Nevuchim says, harkava mizgit im boro. Harkava mizgit im boro. So the only way, here's what's important, the only way Hashem comes into this world is through Ratzon. The Or Hashem is called Ratzon. The only thing that I have, my tzelem elikim, as the Chumash says, ki betzelem elikim boros ha'adam. That's why the only thing I have is my nefesh. My nefesh is my ratzon, ki nefesh pirusha ratzon. So we're talking about the deepest ratzon hapnimi, but and that ratzon hapnimi is that which is standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it's davening. And now he's going to tell us that there's madregas in that. This is a life work. Getting that to happen, because it's the wise situation. But let me just say one last thing. I got 2 more minutes. Really, as an introduction to where you said at the beginning, Yoni, you said shifchi kamayim libe shifchi, and shifchi. So what we learned here today is 2 words. Shifchi, the 2 vocabulary words. Shifchi means everything.
Unloading.
Shficha pirusha legamri. Ratzain, pirusha, nefesh, pirusha, ratzain. There's 2 vocabulary words, is all we learned today. Shvicha, pirusha, legamri, and nefesh, pirusha, ratzain. So, shivchi, kamayim, libech. Noichach, pnei, Hashem. It's a pasuk in Eicha, of all places. Written by? What in the world does it mean? Here, you're the Hebraist, the group here. Shifchi means Shifchi Kabayim Li Bech. Whose heart are we talking about? Is Yirmiyahu talking? Yirmiyahu talking about him crying. Shifchi Kabayim Li Bech Nochach Pnei Hashem. He's talking about the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So what does the word mean? Shifchi Kabayim Li Bech. Translation. Tirgum. Shifchi.
Well, he's saying to a second person.
I say to you, like in the keva. Yeah. Shifchi and libech. So it's a tzivui. Yeah. Libech. So pour out your heart, O Jerusalem. So pour out your heart. So let me just leave you with something very interesting. That David HaMelech says something to think about. We say this in Elul, when we say, so there we say, L'cha Amar Libi, Bakshu Ponai, Esponecha Hashem Avakesh. So David HaMelech is talking, and he says, L'cha to you, Amar Libi, my heart is saying. He's talking to Hashem, presumably, right? Even though he wasn't talking to Hashem until the Hashem, he was talking about Hashem, Hashem, or Yishi, Mimiira, Hashem, Oschai, Efchon. But all of a sudden, it seems to be talking to Hashem. Lecha, Amar Libi. So he's saying, to you, Hashem, Amar Libi, says my heart, Bakshu Fonai. Lecha, Amar Libi, Bakshu Fonai. What does that mean? Never thought about it. Okay. Still means something.
My face is asking.
Bakshu? Okay, so what does it mean?
Request. Man. Request. Telling people.
Bakshu is talking to Hashem. Who's back? Who should be Bavakish? I'm just asking you. Who's Bavakish? Who's Padim? Usually we're Bavakish players.
My
Padim
Bavakish.
Maybe
so that his
Levin
is
Nefesh?
Maybe.
Could be plural. Could also be a command, right?
It's an odd phrase.
It's an odd phrase. Let me tell you what Rashi says. Rashi is a different place, but this is what Rashi says. That Hashem plants something inside of us called the lave. And the purpose of the lave is to talk to us like you're conscious. Hashem gives us a lave. And the lave is, my lave, your lave, is constantly calling out to us, and it's saying, quote, Bakshu Falai. The lave is the representative of Hashem in this story. So Hashem is saying, Derech the lave, you think of it as the microphone, as this, right? The relayer, Hashem, the relaying the message. The lave is screaming somewhere inside of me, and it's saying, Bakshu Falai, right? Search out all of you by face. Or if you want, it could be singular and command. I'm not sure how the dictic works. But Bakshu Fanai, meaning look for me. So in other words, so David HaMelech answers, okay, Espanecha Hashem Avakesh. I'm doing that. This is what I'm doing. Lecha, so again, it's a very interesting pasuk, because Lecha Amar Libi, this is the Hashem talking, in other words. Lecha Amar Libi, Hashem talking to a person, my heart is telling you, Bakshu Falai, search me out. So that's David HaMelech quoting Hashem. Hashem is saying. Right. Hashem gives you a note. It says, Lecha Amar Libi. No, it's Hashem's heart. It's Hashem's heart. You share. You have to share. Your heart belongs to me. And when we say B'chol Levavchem, what that means is the actual lave that we have is Hashem's lave. B'chol Levavchem is you just bring it together. But just, we'll go further. But I just want to say this pshat in the pasuk that Hashem is saying, Lecha Amar Libi. David HaMelech sits back now, takes a rest from his mizmor, and Hashem's talking. Lecha Amar Libi, quote, Bakshu Fanai. And Hashem says, okay, Beseder, Esponecha Hashem Avakesh. So that's exactly what I'm doing. Shivti Beis Hashem, Kol Yibei Chaya, Lachs Achashualti Beis Hashem, etc. But everything that he says, but all of what he's, this is a Hakdama to the calling, the call of his heart, which is really a plant, or Hashem's heart, or however you want to say it. It's a plant of Hashem's heart into me, and that's what our hearts are. And the heart is calling us. And it's saying, Bakshu Fanai, Bakshu Fanai. Why am I saying this? I mean, I don't want to get mixed up between the nefesh and the lev, but I just want to say this. That it's the same thing, by the way, Shivchi Kamayim Libech. Libech, it's your heart. It's the same structure here, because this is what the David HaMelech and the Nevi'im often did, is they spoke in the name of Hashem. They were Nevi'im, after all. So they spoke in the name of Hashem. What is Hashem calling us out to do? But the thing is that what David HaMelech was focusing on here was the very, that he was able to get down to the deepest call. Do I want to be the king? Do I want to build a base of Mikdash? Well, why? You want to be the king because you want to build a base of Mikdash. But why? Well, because, you keep on going. Bakshu Fanai. It was Bakoshes Panim. In other words, his heart was pounding and saying, Bakshu Fanai. What you're looking for is the Shechina. Pnei Hashem, by the way, is the Shechina. What you're looking for is the Shechina. You want to bring the Shechina B'tachtonim. That's what you're really looking for. So, Esponecha Hashem Avakesh. His answer was, if you get down to the deepest part of me, my Ratzon HaPnimi, the deepest place, what do I really want to do? you know, I want the clarinets. I want to marry a Jew. Like, that's the so the trick is with ourselves, with other, you know, like, we need to really find out why. And I'll tell you one last thing. And I really want to get into this, but I just can't leave this. That if you don't do this, then you're creating. If you don't know, if you're not in touch, and tefillah is such a wonderful way to do this. If you're not in touch with the ratzon hapnimi, you're in conflict with the ratzon hapnimi. And if you're in conflict with the ratzon hapnimi, all kinds of terrible things happen. Because basically you're living sheker. It's a deep sheker. You're not lying. You're not stealing. But there's a sheker in the sense that I'm not being true to my ratzon hapnimi. And I got to believe that the ratzon hapnimi is a good one.
Well, you can't be happy.
You can't be happy. You can't be happy. And you're going to be angry. And you're not going to get along with people. Because excuse me for using the word, but it is a personality disorder. When a person's ratzon hapnimi, it does not match with my ratzonos hachitzonim. So that's what a personality disorder is. There's a conflict here. And it's going to come out in all kinds of ways. Now, you could get very far by with this conflict. Maybe you can become the president of the United States. But you're not going to be the good Jew, and you're not going to be a good human being until the ratzon hapnimi is in the scholar. That's what's supposed to be happening at tefillah. And it takes years, even the Tanoim and Amoraim spent an hour getting to this place with meditation every single time they daven. So this is not an easy place to go to, but it's the place to go to. And when you think about it, what could be more important in a sense than getting down to my ratzon hapnimi and growing from there, from inside out? So I want to go further with it. Lev, nefesh, ratzon, shvicha. Those are the words that we're examining. Shabbat shalom and varach.
We're saying the ratzon is an expression of the nefesh, or that is part of the nefesh? That is an aspect of the nefesh?
Nefesh hu ratzon hapnimi. That's what the word means.
Right.